This is Love Seal Church, bearing the tidings of the blessed hope and the glorious liberty of the sons of God. We earnestly pray that you experience a breaking forth in the quantum leap into all the promises of God for you. Gird up the loins of your mind and heart as you obtain mercy to find grace by the word of God coming through God's own servant at this time to you. Be ready for great impartation of the Spirit and life. Happy listening.
By God's grace, we are going to be having a lot of labor in prayer. There are three harvests that we must all labor in. The least of the harvest, or the first harvest, is the labor to be part of the fruit of life everlasting. Is the first harvest that we must labor to be part of them that are harvested into life everlasting. And that labor, that work, everybody must labor for it. If you are hearing this message, you must make sure that heaven has vested you into life everlasting. You must do everything, because the husbandman is waiting for the precious fruit of the earth. This John 4 said that, say not yet, there are yet 4 months, then cometh harvest. The harvest that Jesus Christ was talking about here, Jacob was talking majorly about 2 harvests here. Say, look on the fields. All the harvests are on the field. All the harvests are on the field. You must know that. Does the feed? The feed is this war. Some ministry believe in doing special prayer when someone die, that you can secure for them a paradise, or you can secure for them a home in the after war, afterlife. There's nothing like that. Both in some religion, even sometimes there are also some kind of religion in Christianity also that has that notion. If I one of the things that Martin Luther is that it's only by justification of faith that man is saved. Who was a priest, a monk, a Catholic. So you must know that there is a harvest of you. You are an harvest. You are in the war. Like Jesus told pray in John 17. I do not pray that you take them out of the war, but I pray you keep them. And why is he keeping them? So that they will fully be mature and ripe for them to be harvested into eternal life. You are an harvest, and that is why you are in the church. You are an harvest. They want to harvest you into eternal life. If you are not harvested into eternal life, you die. You have not fulfilled your course. Paul said, I have fought the good fight of faith. I have finished my course. I have laid hold on eternal life, wherein I am called. It's not 2 Timothy. I've laid hold, wherein I'm called. What you have been called is to lay hold on eternal life. Please, you must know. And that's the harvest you must do. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold of, on what? Everybody, let's do where I want to go. In 2 Timothy, it says, he lay up an eternal life. And I profess a good profession before many witnesses. So that's why they called you. Why they call you, you should lay hold on eternal life. You don't have eternal life yet. You don't have eternal life in your spirit. You are Christ in your spirit. Your spirit must become eternal life. Your soul must become eternal life. And eventually, at resurrection morning, you are going to also have eternal body. You can't have eternal body if you don't have eternal spirit. Your soul is not eternal. You won't have it. So you are Christ in your spirit. Where he that is joined to the Lord is one spirit with the Lord. So so there's an harvest going on. Amidst advancing and emerging church. There's a church that is advancing. There's a church that is emerging. Emerging sons. There's an harvest to take many sons to gather them into eternal life. Eternal life is not going to heaven. There are many angels in heaven. They don't have eternal life. There are many Christians. Adam is in heaven. He does not have eternal life. Moses is in heaven. In fact, they took Moses. Moses in heaven. He does not have eternal life. Elijah was taken by chariot of fire to heaven. He does not have eternal life. Enoch walked with God and was found no more. God took him. Enoch does not have eternal life. There's an harvest that you must do. If you leave this earth without having eternal life, if you leave your body without having eternal life, why they left you on earth is so you can have eternal life. But you must fight the good fight of it to lay hold on it. So there's an harvest. The first harvest is that you use. That's why you cannot be doing church. That's why you must not do religion. You must engage in every activities. No matter if you are 70 years, 80 years old, why God is giving you longer life, it's not for you to give excuses. Longer life is for you to lay hold upon eternal life. Jesus Christ did it for 33 years and a half. He lived an example, but they know that you may not be able to do it for 33 years and a half, so that they give you 70, 80 years, 90 years. And it's for one thing, it's not to build house. It's not to start multinational company. It's for you to lay hold on eternal life in the days of your flesh. The promise. See, this is the promise he has promised us. This is the promise he has promised us, even eternal life. Eternal life is a promise that we must all fight to become. So it is when you have become, you cannot have eternal life except you are becoming corruptible. So that's why the pursuit of every saint is to become incorruptible. If you become incorruptible in your soul and in your body, you will receive the promise of eternal life. Because the promise of eternal life is a gift. And it's a promise. It's a reward to every man that is incorruptible. So God will harvest you into eternal life when you are incorruptible. The second harvest that everybody we have been called to come and labor. When you say labor, this is your labor. Your labor is to become incorruptible. Or another word for incorruptible, your labor is the salvation of your soul. Incorruptible is the salvation of your soul. Or incorruptibility is you becoming a partaker of divine nature. That is your calling. That's why we are calling you. And you must fulfill it while you are in church. It's because of one thing. It's not because of anything. It's because you want to become, you want to make sure that you are ripe. Say ripe. To be harvested. What does it mean to be ripe? To be ripe means you are incorruptible. You are not ripe yet. They won't reap you into eternal life without being incorruptible. Incorruptibility, divine nature, salvation of your soul, it is what makes you ripe. That's when God will say, yeah, this person is ripe now. Harvest him into eternal life. Then the second harvest. There is harvest in the church world. The church is on the world. There's harvest. And why am I a laborer in the harvest? Say, do not say it is 4 months to the harvest. Lift up your eyes. The field is ripe already. You can say that I'm 28. Do not say it's 4 months. When I'm become 50, I will have become incorruptibility. I know God will give you longer life. But what about? You can still joke as add eternal life at the age of 33 years. So you can have eternal life if at the age of 30. If you press, even though you are maybe 22 now. Don't wait until when you are my age. God is giving me this longer life because I have lost years. But you are hearing it now. Obey God and become ripe with incorruptibility in your soul. So that if anything happens, you will be harvested into eternal life. The second harvest is the harvest in the church world. There's harvest here. I know everybody here, you have your siblings. You have your parents. You have, some of us have your wife. Maybe your husband is here. You have, some of us have our wife that are not responding in obedience to what we are hearing. They are not even hearing it. They call them the lost sheep of Israel. Though they are born again, they are in the church. They may be born again, they are spirit, but they are still lost. Paul said it in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. That is the second harvest. The harvest in the church war. They are in the church, but they are lost. In the church war. And that God is particular. God is looking for laborers. Those who will labor together with him. Pray ye the Lord of the harvest to send laborers to them also. So Paul said it if from verse 1. Chapter 3, Paul was talking about a ministry that they are blinded to. They are not partaking of that ministry. He called it the ministration of righteousness. He called it the ministration of glory of God. He called it the ministration of the spirits. He called it is the ministration that men should be written upon the tables of their heart. There's no writing going on upon the tables of their heart. All what they know that Christianity is all about is God, give me my shoe. God, give me my head. God, give me my school fees for my children. God, give me a house. God, give me a car. God, give me a job. God, give me. And God has been giving. But the more God is giving, like the word God gave the children of Israel in the wilderness. Say, God gave them the desire of their heart, but sent lenient to their soul. They are in the church world, but they are lean in their soul. Their soul is being lean. It's lean. And we have them as our colleague at work. We have them as our neighbor. We have them as our business partners. We do contract with them, but we have never opened our mouth to tell that there's more to God than all you are holding on as a Christian. They will ask about their soul from you one day because you met them severally. You never tell them there's more. They are in the church, but they are lost. Paul said it in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 from verse 1. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. If this mercy that you have received, you are fainting because you fail because you are attending mega churches. That is all they need. You feel because when they die today, will they go to heaven? It's good to go to heaven. But when they get to heaven, there will still be tears in people's eyes. Men will still have sorrows because they will see destiny of God for their life. But they never have opportunity in their lifetime. And when they will look at you and they will say, and you know this, you never tell me about it. God told Jeremiah that same thing. He said, whosoever see a sinner sinning, and he does not call him. He said, I will require of the soul of the wicked from his hand. So it's not just talking about only those who are outside. I know some of us, we don't do evangelism. Evangelism is not just for only sinners outside. They are the third harvest. The second harvest, they are with you every time. You transact invoices with them. You transfer procurement letter with them. But you never tell them there's still more. Some of them, they have hunger, but they don't know how to interpret it. They have something in them. So Paul said, we receive this ministry, we do not faint. This ministry is not preaching. This ministry is ministry of beholding, like in a glass, the glory of God. And they are being changed from glory to glory. The ministry that Paul is talking about here is the ministry of righteousness upon the tables of their heart, which you are enjoying. God is showing you mercy, but you are never open your mouth. Whenever you meet those people, you just keep on talking and enjoying. You go to party with them. You have a right that same ministry that you are enjoying, they are in the world. He said it. You faint not. You must not faint in both in beholding for your own transformation and also laboring. But I've renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness. Can you see this ministry? The ministry will make you to renounce things. The ministry is not preaching. So the ministry is personal. Paul was not talking about preaching. He was talking about the ministry of beholding the face of Jesus. Ministry of receiving the writing by the Spirit of the living God upon the tables of their heart. He said, we renounce hidden things of dishonesty. Not walking in craftiness. Not handling the word of God deceivably. But by manifestation of truth. The way we have responded to God. We commend that same thing to every man's conscience. So we didn't faint. We not just say, it's God and all those who are serving him. I make sure I commend what I'm going through. I commend to every man's conscience. I try to live orderly. I try to let them know that Christianity that you are practicing is not the same kind of Christianity that me I'm practicing. I, by my life, after they meet with me, something resists on their conscience that I say I'm a Christian, but this is a Christian. Really, I'm not a Christian. Every encounter they had with me, there's a conscience, something that pricked them, that they know when they are lying down, they are bed in the night. In their interaction with me, show to them that I left them with something in their conscience. Their conscience will only bear witness to them. You say you're a Christian. You will see that this person is also a Christian. This same person, I left them with their conscience. Their conscience, I may not be there, but my interaction, my engagement, by my engaging truth, I manifest truth to them. I don't allow truth to fall on the street of the ground. I make sure I live by the truth that is in my inward part to leave them with a conviction of their conscience. Though I may not be there, but that truth have resulted by my life. I leave them perpetually in their conscience that they will not say they never have encounter with truth. When they met me, truth came into their conscience because I did not compromise. I live a life. That's another second avenue. Why? Why did he do that? But my message of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. God's prayer, they will know in the sight of God. Their conscience and God. They will keep fighting it together. That truly I've walked by truth. I manifested truth through my life. Then, you know, say, but if our gospel be hid, what's our gospel? It's the ministry. It is read to them that are lost. These are the lost sheep of Israel. When Jochias came, Jochias sent his disciples two by two, two by two. I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, go not unto the way of the Gentiles. Go not unto the way of the Gentiles. And unto any city of the Samaritan, enter ye not. But go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. See, they are in the house of Israel, but they are lost sheep. They are in the house of God, but they are lost. They are children of God, but they are lost. So the first primary labor that you have is to labor. You must labor together with the Lord of the harvest to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Men that are lost, they are Christians. They are born again, but they are lost. Why? Because what shall he promise them to gain the whole world and lose his soul? Things that we made them, they are soul to be recovered. They are not hearing it. They are born again, they are spirit. They are gaining the disease of the world, but their soul is being lost. When they die, they go to heaven. But it's beyond going to heaven. Because many Christians are in heaven, but they have tears. Many souls are in heaven, but they have sorrow. They are crying in heaven and weeping. In heaven, they are crying. They wrote it. Revelation chapter 22 is a new war. By Revelation 32, the former heaven and the former earth has passed away. That thing happened in Revelation chapter 21. The old heaven, they passed away. They also noted that also in Revelation chapter 20, the last verse, the last two verses of Revelation. Heaven and earth, they passed away. And a new heaven. So it was a new heaven and a new earth. And in Revelation chapter 22, they were still wiping away tears and taking care of sorrows that were in the heart of men that are Christian, but their soul were lost. They were the lost sheep. They were sheep. They were sheep, but they are lost. What made them lost sheep? What made them lost sheep? When you can't hear the voice of the shepherd. That's what made them lost. What make you a lost sheep? Like when you are not hearing the voice, you are not hearing the voice of the shepherd. My sheep hear my voice. They are lost because they are not hearing what the shepherd is saying. They are not hearing what Christ is saying. They are not hearing the ministry of the Son of God. So they are born again in their spirit, but they are not hearing the voice of the Son of God. So they are born again, but they are lost sheep. So that's the second harvest. The lordship in the church world. Then, the way we must also partner with the Lord. By God's grace, I'm saying, trusting the Lord. The Lord told me as I was praying there, as since two God said, it's time for you to start praying about the harvest. And also that will give us every channel God gave to us. Some of us, we don't care. We don't invite our friends, our colleagues at work to church. We just say he's a Christian and he's going to. But where is he going to? Is he saving his soul? What is he getting? Is he restoring his soul? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Lordship of Israel. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He made me to lie down in green pasture. Is he eating green pasture? What is green pasture? But the leaf is for the healing of the nation. Is he eating green pasture for healing of his soul? Is he healing? He made me to lie down in green pasture. Then he lead them in beside still waters. Green pasture is Christ. Still water is the water of Christ. Then one thing happened. One thing happened when I have still water happened to me. He restored my soul. Are those people, is their soul being restored? Is your brother, your sibling, is still being restored? I'm giving you body to pray. Body to live a right life. Body for you to know that you are not just doing and feel cool. You feel cool. Your auntie, your brother, your mommy, your daddy is not hearing this thing and you feel cool. My brother, you will not feel cool when you see them in the world to come with tears and sorrow in their heart. You won't feel cool. Nobody will feel cool. Nobody will feel cool because you will see great destiny of God that you couldn't fulfill in the day of their flesh. You won't feel cool, my brother. Nobody will feel cool. To restore my soul, he lead them in the path of righteousness. This everlasting life for his name's sake. This salvation of my soul. Though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I shall fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me, and thou prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemy. When they show redemption, what did they say about redemption? Revelation chapter 14. For these are they that are redeemed from the head, and they are redeemed from among men. But as they are redeeming you, are you careful that they also redeem your people from the head and from among men? And this is a work, this is an harvest. That as you are doing that, it's also an harvest in the body, in the church world. Then the third harvest. We all know about it, evangelism. We go to the streets. We go to go and talk about Jesus to them that have never heard about him. Or they that have heard him, they are still saying, I don't need Christianity. When we enter that voices, they are talking there. When you're on the street of London, they talk about them. When you are in New York, they talk about them. That's what we all know about it. But you must know that that is not only where redemption is required. That is just the beginning. But there is a great harvest. In fact, the harvest in the church world, the harvest of lordship of Israel is somehow almost the same degree to the harvest that's outside. And God said we should pray the law of the harvest to send laborers. You and I are the laborers. Laborers are not going to come anywhere. We are the laborers. We are laborers. We see, you know, we just feel cool. We are not carrying body in our heart. When we pray, you only pray for yourself. You are so self-centered and self-conceited in your prayer. We don't engage in prayer to pray for our daddy, our mommies, to pray for our uncles. But not only prayer alone, but you also live a life. And also, you try, not beyond living a life, you live a life that causes their conscience to be alive. Because you must know that Satan is doing something. Satan is deadening men's conscience. Satan is raising many things to social media, to what? People are becoming, their conscience are becoming deadened. But when you live right, that conscience, you God use your manifestation of truth to keep working on their conscience until they realize that I still need more than what I have. What I have is not sufficient. I need much more. So, gospel, these are the three harvests. The harvest of the dead. They didn't call them lordship. Come on, has not given his life to Christ. It's not lordship. It's a dead soul. And you are the quickened. We are dead in sin and trespasses. Lordship, lost. Are Christians that are not hearing the voice of the shepherd. They are not learning the leading and the dealing of the spirit for their life. Have this morning, I've just come to do the work of an evangelist. A gospeler. I'm a gospeler. I carry gospel. I've come to adorn the gospel of Jesus. To to tell you that you are in the house of bread does not mean there's no famine to many outside. You must not be like those lepers in the day of Samaria. They say, if we tarry here, that's the scripture of the carnage. He said, if we tarry here, we don't know, evil can befall us. He said, if we tarry here, evil may befall us. Let us go to the city and shout the good news. Elisha met the king when people started eating their children. Then the word of the Lord came by Elisha. Then Elisha said, hear ye the word of the Lord. Thus said the Lord, tomorrow about this time shall a measure of flour be sold for a shekel, and 2 measures of barley for a shekel in the gate of Samaria. The Lord, of whom and the king lean, answered the man of God and said, behold, if the Lord will make windows in heaven, might this thing be? And he said, behold, thou shalt see with thy eyes, but thou shalt not eat thereof. And there were 4 leprous men at the entry in of the gate. And they said one to another, why sit we here until we die? If we say we will enter to the city, then the farmer is in the city, and we shall die there. And if we sit here, we die also. Now therefore come, let us fall into the host of the Syrians. And if they save us alive, we shall live. And if they kill us, we shall but die. And they rose up in the twilights before the daybreak to go unto the camp of Syrians. And when they were come to the uppermost part of the camp of Syrians, behold, there was no man there. For the Lord had made the host of Syrians to hear a noise of chariots and a noise of horses, even the noise of a great host. And they said one to another, lo, the king of Israel have hired against all the kings of Hittite and the kings of Egyptian to come upon us. Wherefore they arose and fled in twilight and left their tents and their horses and their asses, even the camp as it was, and fled for their life. And when this leper came to the uttermost part of the camp, they went into one tent and they eat and drank. You have been eating and drinking. Every Sunday you come to eat and drink. Every morning in your house you eat and drink. You have been eating and drinking. SMA flesh, you eat and drink. But you never invite anybody to come and eat and drink. They eat and drink and carry there and carry in silver. You have been carrying silver, redemption, which is redemption, and gold and raiment. They have been clothing with the raiment of new man. You are putting off the old man and you are putting on the new man. And went and hid it. You kept on taking and hiding. Take and hide this in your world life. It's good for you to take and hide. And came again and entered another tent and carried there also and went and hid this. You kept on taking and hiding. Then they said one to another, we do not wear. We do not wear. We do not wear. We do not wear. We need repentance that we have not done well. We have been eating and drinking and taking to hide and go and put it in our tent. Our tent is your tabernacle. You keep it in. You put it, you can't put it in your tent. Then they say, what on earth? We do not wear. This day is a day of good tidings. The good tidings that publishes peace. The good tidings of good that publishes salvation. For this day is the day of good tidings. And behold, we hold our peace. And behold, we hold our peace. And behold, we hold our peace. Is there the day of good tidings? We said the Son of God is come. It's a good tiding. Good tiding on our streets. Good tiding in our company. The good tiding in our community. But we still hold our peace. Where many, we are eating and drinking, taking raiment, putting off the garment of old man, and we are putting on the garment of new man. We are changing, but we are not doing well. This day is the day of good tidings. And we hold our peace. If we tarry to the morning light, one morning light, if we wait until the season of eternal life. If we say we are just keeping, we are keeping, we are learning, we are keeping. If we wait till the morning light is eternal life, the promise of eternal life. The Bible says, because iniquity shall abound, the love of men shall wax cold. What is happening in your family can make your love wax cold. Because they have a way of attacking, affecting you. What is happening in your company? What is happening in Nigeria can make your love wasco. Because you are not sharing the good tidings to them. It's possible for the very elect to be deceived. Because something terrible is coming upon the earth if many people are not immune against corruption and perishing. So one way to help humanity is so for you to use truth to comment to their conscience to come alive. Let their conscience become deadened and become more evil, to do more evil, that will vex your soul. Just like Lot's soul was vexed in Sodom. He was a righteous man. He could not even stay in his house. He had to go to the gate of the city and go there and be sitting. Because he was so, the city was into terrible abomination. So he ran away from the city and went to the gate. If we don't do something to a lot of brothers that are in Christian, do you see? Don't you see what is happening on social media? Don't you see? We thought that's one we are in Nigeria. Also, we saw they are just divorcing. They are divorcing and remarrying. Don't you have body? If you pastor are divorcing, what will church member do? If we cannot endure our wife, if we cannot be patient with our wife, why would we want to teach? Jesus Christ is not divorcing the church. The church is not clean, but like it's not divorcing us. Rather, he's washing us with the washing of the water that may present to himself a glorious church without spot and wrinkle. But we are very quick to divorce our wife. We say we have irreconcilable differences and we are not laboring together to see to it that the reality of this gospel, because there's nothing that can keep marriage. If what church is hearing today keep hearing, it can keep their marriage. What can keep marriage is this message. Is this gospel that can keep marriage? Is the gospel of the kingdom of God? Is the gospel of peace and salvation? Nothing can keep marriage. The more you see, the less you see. If you have tie, you don't have my own kind of tie. If you have shoe, don't have my kind of shoe. Gospel of materialism cannot keep marriage. Rather, it will fuel passion. It will fuel lust. The only thing that can keep marriage is the gospel of godliness with power that prepare contentment for the soul. The soul knows that we brought unto the world. And it's certain we shall take nothing out of this world. We take nothing. You not come with one latchet or shoelace. You won't take one pieces when you are going. We need contentment. And contentment is not what you eat when you get out of the car. Contentment, you have to sit down for it to teach you until your soul become quiet. I know that you have believed this message is that when you lie down, when a man you are teaching, he's still eager. Yes, no. You must teach. You must feed. When you feed, he make it to lie down in the crisp. That's where you know that you have labor over his soul. As a pastor, I know when I've labor over you. When you are no longer agitating and you knelt down, I know that this soul, what is gem? They have calmed his soul. Because there's always something longing in man that make him restless. He can join, he can be going to a football club. When he's talking to you, you know this soul is not eating well. Because when you eat well, nobody will tell you. When word is coming, you just naturally have appetite to hear the word rather than follow football. Later, you know, God, I can only scatter football because it's so as fine green pasture to lie down. That's how you know a pastor knows when a soul is lying down. That is so a labor has been bestowed on this one, and you know the one that labor sees seku as God on labor because one soul when a soul are fed, it will lie down. It's no longer emotion. That soul is not restless to jump up and down. It's just calm. You know this soul have find contentment in the gospel of Christ. And they say one to another, we do not well. This day is the day of good tidings. If we tarry to the morning, some mischief will come upon us. They know it. If you tarry to the morning, if you keep taking and hiding, eating, changing, hurting, mischief will come. Because sometimes want to come and vex your soul is around the corner. Those of you who are living around, they are going to come and end up vexing your soul. Because those people that Lot lived with, they are the ones that came, that wanted to come and sleep with the angel. They broke the door. Lot took her two daughters and sent it to them because, don't touch this man. Every man touch one. And took two virgins and said, he took her two daughters. Sometimes your labor that you are used to preserve yourself, sometimes you're going to lose it when you don't affect those who are around you. It's 2 John. He said, watch, lest you lose those things that have been wrought in you. Look to yourself, lest we lose those things which have been wrought in you. But we might receive our full reward. If we tarry to the morning, some mischief will come upon us. Now, therefore, come that we may go and tell the king's house. Let us go and tell the king's house. What's the king's house? There are many people that are in the king's house, but they are lost. Let's go and tell the king's house. Let's go. So we have a calling. As we are saying ourselves, we have a mandate.
We must go and tear the king's house. The king's house are not of the one in the throne, but they are in the king's house. A lot of our Christians, that they are around the kingdom. Like he told that young rich ruler, so you are near to the kingdom. They are keeping laws, but they are around. They need to hear the good tidings. They too need to come and sit, eat, and drink. They also need to come and change their raiment. They need to come and take things to hide in their tents. They also need the way you are also taken.
We believe you have been enlightened through the ministry of the Word and Spirit, bringing you into a much deeper understanding of God's eternal purpose and plan. To find out more about us and our meetings, visit us at 12 Akinwusinyemi Street off Allen Road, Ikeja, Lagos. You can also contact us on our website at www.lostyouchurch.org or call us on +234 9042 850714. Remain blessed.